You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the cause of Jesus Christ. Today, we have with us Dr. Kevin Hester. He's the Dean of the School of Theology at Welch College in Gallatin, Tennessee. Dr. Hester, thank you for joining us today, my friend.
Thank you so much, Dr. Moody. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you're a professor of theology. You're the Dean of the School of Theology over at Welch College. Today, we want to talk about feet washing, which for those who are pastors out there, it feels like you announce there's going to be a feet washing service and people put their hands up and run for the exits. You know, not literally, but it is interesting how, I've got to go visit my grandmother or something at that particular time. So feet washing is often not really understood by many people. You go to work and you say, hey, we had a feet washing service yesterday. You're going to get folks kind of looking at you like, what? You know, be kind of interested in that. So let's talk a little bit about feet washing today.
Happy to do it. No, you're absolutely right. The way in which we talk about feet washing in our churches, I think, is something that doesn't encourage the practice, which I've found to be particularly spiritually meaningful myself. But when we first start talking about feet washing, we need to recognize that it's part of a set of ritual or cultic practices that are just part of what we do as a Christian church. Some churches refer to these as sacraments. Some churches refer to these as ordinances. But an ordinance is just part of the corporate worship. And as rituals, they're an aspect of what we do regularly to remind us of what we believe to be true and to remind one another of what we have experienced as Christians. Now, as Free Will Baptists, we recognize three ordinances, of course, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the washing of the saints' feet. And we're here to talk about the washing of the saints' feet today.
And so, you know, all of those probably people can think about, okay, I understand why we do the Lord's Supper. They can think of the theological reason symbolizing the death of Jesus as how he paid the price for our sins. I don't know that we always understand or really articulate well the theological reasons for feet washing. What's the theological reason that we should practice feet washing?
Well, the initial reason is related to that word ordinance that we use. When we use the word ordinance, what we simply mean is that this has been ordered or ordained by Jesus Christ. This is something that God meant for us to carry on. The word ordinance is typically used by lower church Protestants to refer to any ritual or cultic activity ordained by Christ and meant to be repeated in the context of Christian worship that are commemorations or testimonies of spiritual truth. And it's this spiritual truth concept that I think you're getting at when we start talking about what is it we're doing in the context of the washing of the saints' feet. You know, Martin Luther described an ordinance or a sacrament as the visible gospel. So there is a outward symbol, but there's a deeper theological significance, a deeper spiritual meaning. And we see that in all the ordinances, and we see that also in the washing of the saints' feet. Now, one of the issues from a theological standpoint that everyone recognizes in John 13 is this idea of humility and service. And I want to come back to that because that's very important. But I think one thing that people really miss is the secondary component of that, which is outlined in our treatise. So I'm not sure why we miss it. And it's also outlined in the Free Will Baptist Catechism. The Catechism says that the washing of the saints' feet is a commemoration of Jesus's washing of the disciples' feet, which teaches humility, there's that humility, and reminds believers of the necessity of a daily cleansing from sin, which, of course, relates to what we have in the treatise as well. teaches humility and reminds the believer of the necessity of a daily cleansing from sin. You say, okay, well, where is that in the text? Well, if we read through John 13, you'll recall that Jesus, rising from supper, girds himself with a towel and goes and kneels down at the feet of the disciples. He makes his way to Peter, and Peter says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, well, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. And then Peter's like, well, if you're going to wash, you know, don't stop at my feet. Just go with my head and my hands. Just give me a bath.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see Jesus chuckling there. I'm not sure if he did or not, but he says, one who has been washed does not need to be washed again, but only to have his feet cleansed.
It's good.
And what he's ultimately getting at is that when we have united ourselves to faith in Christ, the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sins. His righteousness becomes ours. And yet, as we walk through this broken world, this sinful world, we're still in a process of being made fully like Christ. And we're made fully like Christ as we have in ourselves the attitude that Jesus himself had, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, when he talks about humility. But I think his point there in getting that across to Peter was, look, you still need me. Mm-hmm. You still need this support. And I think one of the things that we fail to recognize in the washing of the saints' feet as it relates to our salvation experience is that we must be continually trusting in Jesus for that cleansing. We must continually be coming in an attitude of repentance, in an attitude of confession, and reaching out to our one and only hope, which is Jesus's active and passive obedience and our union with him through faith. So it really does come down to that salvation experience.
That's good. And so you mentioned earlier the different ordinances. Baptism is an ordinance, as everyone knows, and that symbolizes how we've died in Jesus Christ. We now walk in newness of life. Mm-hmm. We believe he died for our sins and rose from the grave. The ordinance of feet washing, you're saying another part of that is it represents how we need to continue to walk with the Lord, and we sin, and we need to continue to be cleansed of that sin as we go along the way.
Absolutely. And that begins, of course, in that first attribute, which is humility. Mm. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he humbled himself, taking the form of a human servant. He lived for us. He lived among us. And what a wonderful picture of Jesus's, the Greek term there is kenosis, but his emptying of his glory, his willingness to align with us, with who and what we are, stepping out of glory, stepping onto this earthly plane, washing the feet of his disciples, teaching them, loving them. And that's what we're called to do. And one of the things that feet washing reminds us of, that our ministry should be a ministry like Jesus, where we're willing to serve others. So the humility there is partly about service. Hmm. And it's partly about a recognition that we also, as members, as part of the body of Christ, sometimes need to be served.
That's good.
And I'm afraid that part of the humility that we miss is this recognition that we need other people. Mm-hmm. And we're all in this. We all need our feet washed, mm-hmm. if you will. And we all ought to wash one another's feet. I think that's helpful. And it reminds us that we all together as a body have this same need and have this same call to minister to one another, to serve in that way.
So it's not okay to say, I'm good, I don't need any help here, which is really what Peter was saying.
Right.
And basically the Lord's like, then I have no part with you. In other words, this is a back and forth. This is a relationship.
Absolutely. Right? And the relationship begins in humility. And what a wonderful symbol of kneeling down to wash someone's feet in the same way that we kneel down to recognize Christ's lordship, his authority. When we pray that prayer of confession at the beginning, we pray that prayer for where we recognize our need for continual repentance.
Now, why do you think it is that so few groups practice feet washing as an ordinance? We think of Free Will Baptists, Wesleyans, there's a few other groups out there that do feet washing, if you will, and then people that would do it from time to time. Why is that, you think?
It's a good question. I've wondered that myself. I think first and foremost, it's uncomfortable and it seems strange. It's not culturally relevant for us because we all have baths and we all wear shoes. That's not what happened in the first century and in the first several centuries. This was a very necessary service. So I think that's part of it. We've been removed. But what a lot of those arguments really fail to realize is that this practice has been going on in the church since the first generation. It might look a little different, or it might be administered in a slightly different way, but honestly, the Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, still practice what they call the pedilavium, which is simply a Latin word that means feet washing in Latin. The priest actually on Maundy Thursday will select 12 members of his parish or congregation and bring them up and he will wash their feet. That practice has been consistent. Ultimately, I think it comes from the difference in low church Protestantism seeing these things as ordinances and sort of higher church seeing them as sacraments. Mm. The Roman Catholic Church, even though they recognize this as an important practice, did not see it as a sacrament, in large part because they had the way that it developed, the priest did it. To the people. So what they were receiving this, instead they referred to it as a sacramental, which is, this is a picture of what God has done for us in this context. So that moves through. With the Protestant Reformation, we have this rejection in many ways of the sacraments being something that automatically conveys grace, to being something that required an active engagement of faith on the part of the participant. And they only ultimately recognized that, when I say they, I'm talking here primarily about the magisterial reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Zwingli, and others, recognized baptism and the Lord's Supper. It's only when you get to sort of the radical Reformation and the Anabaptists that they start, who really rejected the idea of sacrament and talk about ordinances, that we really see people starting to talk about the practice of feet washing and practicing it in a way very similar to what we would do today. But it's actually quite common. There are a number of Church of the Brethren movement, of course, the Hussites seem to have practiced the washing of the saints' feet as well. Saint Benedict in this early part of the 6th century, 529, actually essentially commands all the monks that are going to follow the rule of Saint Benedict to wash one another's feet. He said, this is something we are going to do as part of our monastic rule of faith. We're going to do this regularly together. There's a lot of history associated with it, and I haven't even gotten into, I could go through a lot of early church fathers who mention it and all that, but that's probably going to bore you and me too. But it's an interesting story. I think that these other groups typically say that in order for something to be a quote-unquote sacrament, something they're going to recognize, it has to first of all, refer to a spiritual truth, typically mm-hmm. something related to salvation. It has to be ordained by Christ, and it needs to be capable of effecting some sort of spiritual change. And obviously, we would raise some questions about how we would understand that. Mm. And what they typically miss is the spiritual element that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. They just sort of say, okay, it's about humility. And yes, Jesus said it would be good for you to do it. And we all ought to have this heart of humility. Mm-hmm. And we ought to have this heart of service. And if we're doing that, we're doing what Jesus has commanded us to do. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the Presbyterians that I went to seminary with, that was pretty much what they would say. And then they'd raise questions about sort of the history of this being passed down, which they didn't know the rich history that actually was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really you went through some of it, but really it goes back 400, you go 400 years, especially when we think about after the Reformation, but you mentioned or alluded to earlier, even the early church, and you're about to start telling us about the early church fathers too. There's a rich history there all through the history of Christianity, isn't there?
Yes, there is indeed. It's really interesting to me the way that the Apostle Paul references in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he's actually giving the qualifications for the office of widow. Yes. and what that means, which would be a whole other discussion as far as what that was. But he says, don't let anyone, unless they're at least 60, but they need to have been the wife of one husband. They need to have availed themselves of good works, and they needed to have practiced hospitality and then participated in the washing of the saints' feet, which is a real interesting statement there. But I think it gets at that heart of service mm-hmm. And a recognition of our need for Christ.
And clear evidence they were doing it. You know, the early church there, I mean, there it is in the New Testament. So you're saying it's not just a symbol. When the Lord says, blessed are you if you do it, he's not just talking about symbolism or having humility. We're getting at the theological reason. We're getting, yes, we do humble ourselves, but we also think about our need for each other as we go
Absolutely.
Along.
Absolutely.
We've got someone that you know real well, Dr. Matthew, J. Matthew Pinson, we should say, who's written a really good book on this called The Washing of the Saints' Feet. So this would be, gets into some of the history that Dr. Hester referred to, and talks a little bit about why we think many people don't. They are ashamed and embarrassed, and I think he makes a good case for a lot of things we do are a little bit strange, and a lot of things other people do are strange, and people still go to their churches, you know, and so forth. So he's saying we shouldn't minimize feet washing. We miss out. What should someone do if they've never participated in feet washing, if you will?
Well, the first thing you should do is do it. You should read John 13, the first 15 verses there. This is the instigation of the initiation, if you will, of Christ washing the feet of the disciples, thinking about that, and ultimately taking part in a service like that. And I think we're going to have an opportunity to do that at the National Association coming up. That would especially be good for those who had not participated before, didn't know what this looked like. I'm sure you could say a little more about that, Dr. Cooper.
Yeah. So we encourage you, check it out, Sunday, 3 p.m., the National Association in Birmingham, Alabama. And that's something I used to tell folks at our church. You go, you can observe, you don't have to participate. And I think sometimes that takes a little of the pressure off because this is strange to me. I've never even heard of it. You know, people, especially that are new Christians, might say that. So you could come and join us in the main hall there in Birmingham. We'll have a feet washing service that starts at 3 o'clock. And that would be a good thing just to see what it's all about. I do believe it's something that if people participate in, it's one of those things you don't really understand until you've done it. Would you agree with that, Dr. Hess?
Absolutely. No, it's incredible to me the unity that you can feel with other people as you recognize that we're all in this task of sharing the gospel together, and we're all committed to loving one another, to serving one another. And that means that I need to allow myself to be served and to serve. It's a wonderful experience. I remember even as a child, sometimes with my grandfather from older members of the church that I looked up to and respected, and they're washing my feet. I'm like, well, that feel. But it was such, there was such a warmth there and a recognition that we're in this together. I never will forget one of the first times that I actually went to a feet washing service at Cross Timbers Free Will Baptist Church, which is where I've attended since I moved back to Nashville. Brother Leroy Forlines was there, and Brother Leroy Forlines asked, could I wash your feet? And I'm like, this is my professor. This is someone that I've learned a lot from. And here he is, demonstrating this act of love and service and compassion. And that's so meaningful. Mm-hmm. It was meaningful for me personally. And it's just meaningful as I reflect on it here today.
So you're listening in, you're like, oh, this sounds strange. It does sound strange, but you do it and you only by participating. It's almost like tithing and so many other Christian principles. You don't really understand until you do it. So we encourage you to join us in Birmingham if you can, 3 o'clock that Sunday. Check out Dr. Pinson's book. And of course, some good things in the treaties, good things, online at nafw.org, and material from the Theological Commission that would be helpful as well. So we should have mentioned you're part of the Theological Commission as well. And there's all kinds of resources to help us to practice this particular ordinance and really get this blessing that so many people miss out on. Thank you, Dr. Hester. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
I'm happy to do it anytime. It's great to see you.
And we want to thank you all, our listeners. Thank you for stopping in and listening today. Please take this podcast, share it with others, like it on Facebook, encourage others to check out this particular information, because remember, when we truly are working together, when we're serving together, we really are better together.